Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan, I'm Pake Pagan, and joining me today, Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. We're talking about Hacksaw Ridge, Mel Gibson's latest directorial venture. He's been nominated for many, many Academy Awards this time. He's out of the doghouse. The Jews in Hollywood have set him free.
Wow, we got that early.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was a big shock, right, that he was nominated for Best Director. I mean, that was the only thing that was making the headlines when this movie got nominated, that he's like, oh, look, they've forgiven him.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to see, because when you talk about, like, the other probably big director who's been cast out like this would be Roman Polanski, who's constantly worked. But in the press for this movie, Gibson's very much, like, talking about being in Alcoholics Anonymous and trying to make amends. And he's been on, like, there's a lot of live footage of him not being crazy, which seemed to be hard for him to do back in 2006.
Correct, being drunk and crazy.
Yeah.
So this is the story of Desmond Doss. It's the true story of a Seventh-day Adventist who was a conscientious objector in the war. He joined the war anyway because he believed it was his responsibility to serve, but at the same time he refused to carry a gun or weapon of any sort. And he just wanted to do his part as a medic and save lives. That's essentially the story in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. And it kind of plays out over three acts, a very, very traditional three-act structure. The first act is his life story. The second act is a bit of a courtroom drama training montage.
Cross with the beginning of Full Metal Jacket.
Correct. And then the third act is your final brutal Saving Private Ryan-esque war bits.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what did you guys think?
I think I would have liked to see the uncut version. Like jumping straight in there, there was Vince Vaughn's been sleepwalking in true movies for a good decade now, and it would have been his scene looks like it really he brings his A game, but it was kind of cut to ribbons here because he probably F's and blinds a lot.
He does. So that was the only major piece of censorship, and ironically, it was about language because, you know, in Malaysian cinema, brutal head blowing off violence you can get away with.
Yes, but, and there is a lot of that.
But dare you not say an F word.
Mm.
But haven't we seen movies where those have snuck through as well?
Ratings.
Isn't that just like a ratings thing? Right?
So we got it in John Wick.
Okay.
But that was rated 18.
Yeah.
Right.
But Hacksaw Ridge is not rated 18 for some weird reason.
Yeah. Because it's the rated violence R in the alone. US, right?
It's rated R in the US, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
but for some weird reason, all of that violence is not rated 18.
No.
Hmm.
And Gibson handles that violence exceedingly well. I mean, this is the guy who brought us all those horrific deaths in Braveheart. But there's moments in this where, you know, so many helmets get shot off people's heads.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, they just, you know, shrug it off and get back up. They're dead.
Yeah.
You hear a ping of a bullet in a helmet. Yeah. They're dead.
Oh, sorry. That was probably one of the best pieces of sound design I've seen in a long time.
Absolutely.
The ping of a bullet hitting off a helmet.
Best pieces of sound design you've seen?
I've heard. Sorry. Leave me alone. It's not like I do this for a living.
No, you're right. It's also the kind of thing where even when you're not, even if you don't see the shot and you hear that ping, you know someone's just taken a hit shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they build it up quite nicely throughout the film. The other thing I really liked was to sort of go back to what you were saying, Ian, about how he handles the violence very well. It didn't feel gratuitous. It didn't feel like, oh, look at this man dying slowly in the arms of another. It didn't feel
that. I
want
to shock you.
It didn't feel like that. It just felt like a matter of fact of war. You know, people die. It's bloody is not the term for this. It was just a massacre.
Yeah.
And I really like the way he shot it.
Some of the ways he builds up tension and then releases that tension in a horrifying manner, I think Mel Gibson would be really good at doing a horror movie. Hmm. There's some segments in this where it is like there's just people waiting in a hole, waiting to for the Japanese to come down on them or for artillery to come down on them, waiting to die. And then all of a sudden something happens and it's a huge jump. You know, someone just lands in the foxhole beside you and it's not who you thought it was. And that happens a couple of times near the end.
Yeah. You jumped a couple of times in the cinema.
I squealed a few times.
There were
like,
a few jumps. Yeah. There were a few major jumps. I will say there were, I don't know, maybe it was just the cinema I was in, but there were a few moments where I felt a little like, wait, why are you guys laughing? This is a very emotional moment here. Mm. Why is everybody laughing?
Malaysians have a tendency to do that.
I think it's a nervousness thing, right?
Yes. Yeah. We tend to laugh at really awkward moments in emotional movies.
Yeah.
I don't know why we do that. Tell us why we do that. Tweet us, actually, at BFM Radio.
Really like
and tell us, why do you laugh at awkward moments?
You talk about the emotion there. It's incredibly emotional near the end. I mean, we don't want to go into spoilers, but there's a point of, dear Lord, let me get one more.
Yeah.
And there's a sequence there about halfway through that. The music as well, I thought, was really well done. I was mostly with the movie for a lot of it. I mean, it is a pastiche of, like I said, Full Metal Jacket and a lot of other bits and pieces. And you've seen a lot of war movies just at one point. It just looks like the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. I couldn't tell most of the other characters that weren't Desmond Doss or Sam Worthington or Vince Vaughn or Ra's al Ghul from Arrow apart.
And very few people have actually pulled that off well. I think Steven Spielberg does that really well during the D-Day landings of Saving Private Ryan, where you can actually discern every important character by look alone, right?
Yeah.
And in a lot of these movies, it seems like a muddled mess. But that being said, I think Mel Gibson pulls those scenes off very well.
Absolutely. Like, despite that, I still felt completely swept up in the emotion of the third act. And some of the stuff I thought was super preachy turns out to be super true.
We were talking about this as we stepped out of the cinema, and both you and I said at the same time, this feels like part of his Christian trilogy.
Yeah.
Right? Apocalypto, Passion of the Christ, and then this one, because it is an incredibly religious movie, or at least rooted in religion and one man's fervent belief in God.
Yeah.
But it's all real. I mean, you get to see, I mean, this isn't a spoiler, at the end of the movie, they actually play clips from the original people, right?
Yeah, which I thought was very well done.
I thought it was very well done, and you hear from Desmond Doss himself and his fellow comrades, and a lot of that stuff was all real.
As it was interesting because as you're watching the film, you know, it opens up with based on a true story. So there were bits during the war sequence where you're thinking, you might be thinking, creative license. Mm. And you expect that. But then to have Desmond Doss himself or his commander tell those stories that you thought were creative license stories.
And did you hear there's actually another story that they left out of the film because it would have been too insane to be true?
I didn't hear this.
At one point, he's being stretchered away for something and he gave his stretcher up for somebody else while he lay in a hole. And while he was lying in a hole, a sniper shot him in the arm and shattered his elbow, I believe it was. And then they came back. He was in there for a couple of days and they came back and got him.
Wow.
And the other thing is, this all makes it seem like this is his first mission.
Yeah.
He was in, like, he'd done, I think, the Philippines and another ship out first.
Okay.
So he had been there for quite some time already. Like, it doesn't tweak the things you would expect it to tweak. And the things it does tweak are very subtle.
Yeah, because when you say that, I'm thinking back. Because, again, at the end of the film, they showed footage of him earning his Medal of Honor.
Mm.
And he had his arm in a sling. And I was thinking, why was that in a sling?
Yeah.
But now that you've told me, oh, God.
And apparently, the ridge itself is not as big as it looks like in the movie. It's a lot smaller, but that's also just, it's a small hill in Okinawa, but that was the battles that happened around that time.
Yeah.
It was just, it was covered in gun nests and all sorts of things like that. So, like, it doesn't play well on movie when you're attacking a small hill.
One of the reasons I like this movie is that Gibson's treatment of religion or religiosity is quite refreshing in that I'm not a religious person, and these days you get a lot of movies that are very anti-religious or a-religious, if you will, or they mock religion. And I think it's nice to see someone do something about religion that is so earnest, almost.
But it's still, at times I thought it was veering into preachy, but it never really was cloying.
No, it wasn't cloying. And I think that for me was nice, that you can still tell a story like this and not have me roll my eyes in the cinema when it happens. Because we're so used to it, right? Every time we see something like this, it's usually the setup for a joke.
Yeah.
And then we roll our eyes.
Yeah.
And that was nice.
if it's a setup for a joke, we all cringe a little. Or if it's not a setup for a joke where they're actually preaching, we then start rolling our eyes, right? It would be interesting to see how silence gets played against this, because silence as well is a pretty heavy religious film.
Mm. That's the new Martin Scorsese movie.
Also with Andrew Garfield.
Also with Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's getting work.
He's getting some real good work. So that would be quite interesting to see how Scorsese plays off the religion aspect. Does he fall into preachiness?
Before we talk about Desmond Doss, can we talk about Andrew Garfield? I thought, yeah, he does Ernest really well.
He comes off as like borderline simple at first, but like he manages to build that character, and you are on his side, the whole way through.
And I think that's the interesting dichotomy that Mel Gibson plays with as well. He's a small town guy that comes across as simple, and oftentimes we think of overly religious people as being simple, but actually he's incredibly smart. Mm. And he picks up, like, the way he picked up medicine before he became a medic and all of that stuff. It happens in, you know, he's self-taught, it happens in quick succession, and it shows that Desmond Doss is a very, very clever man, despite being a religious man. So, Desmond Doss, though.
Apparently, this was part of a deal. He gave the rights to his story to his church.
Oh, wow.
And it was floating around for quite some time. And the only way he'd do it was if there was it was a two-pronged deal. You had to do a documentary, which is called Conscientious Objector, and this movie. Oh. So the documentary, I believe, is available. I'm not sure if it's available on Netflix or Hulu or what, but it's definitely something I want to search out after hearing about it.
You don't find many stories like that anymore. No. Yeah. I don't know if there are going to be many stories like that coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan. It would be nice to see when we look back at these wars, or our wars at least, whether we're going to get these cool stories. But watching this again, I love World War II movies, and it feels like if you are a director worth any salt, you need to cut your teeth at least once on a war film of some sort. You know, Thin Red Line with Terrence Malick, Saving Private Ryan, and then Schindler's List, and this.
I will say, though, I think walking out of it, it's, I love, like you said, I love World War II. I also love World War II. As a period, I loved reading up the histories and documentaries about all that. At the same time, movies set in World War II, the ones you mentioned earlier, even Band of Brothers, but this one, it's a sobering look at war.
Mm.
It's not Benghazi. It's not Michael Bay, rah-rah, Americana, I'm going to take out snipers.
Absolutely brutal,
It is brutal. It's sobering. War is not cool, you know?
Yeah.
You watch Michael Bay and you go, yeah, I'm going to join the Navy. I'm going to go to Iraq, kill me some infidel.
It's a recruitment video.
It's a recruitment video. Whereas this one is like,
you're
going to
die in a hole on an island you've never heard of, and it's going to be awful, and it's going to take a long time.
You're going to arrive, you're going to climb a wall. Before you know your name, you're going to get shot.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow.
Brutal.
Brutal. And that's why I like these, because it's sort of, I wouldn't say, realism, one way or the other, but it's sobering.
Oh, actually, that's a very good point. You saying it's going to take a long while? We see the war movies like Thin Red Line and Saving Private Ryan, and, you know, death comes quickly, right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, everyone gets taken on on those beaches by those massive guns.
Headshot.
Headshot out. And in this one, I mean, this is the reality of of people thinking you're dead, and you're lying there for hours upon hours.
And not only you, but you and hundreds of your comrades lying in the dirt, dying, and no one's coming for you.
Yeah,
no one's
because everybody else has evacuated, right? Yeah. You're just lying there.
There's something like they send 1,000 people up the hill, and like 50 or 30 come back.
30 come back.
And the rest are in various states of disrepair, but many of them are still alive.
And savable.
Yeah.
You know, and they can be saved. But
and that's exactly what Desmond Doss does.
Desmond Doss does,
How did he? 75 people?
No, 80.
So apparently he says 50, his commander says 100, and they decided to agree on 75.
I like that.
Oh, that's nice.
That's good. It's a good compromise.
Yeah, why not? I like how there was one line, not really a spoiler, but sort of one of the other guys in the battalion were like, yeah, he saved a bunch, and he sent down a couple of Japanese people as well.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay.
Yeah.
He's just like, anybody who's alive, I'm saving. Yeah, I don't care. I'm saving. Yeah.
One slight problem I had with the movie was, at times during the battle scenes, it felt small screenish.
Oh, yeah. I was
going to
say. Did you
notice this? There was a very mid-shot frame on a lot of things where the maximum number of people you would see in the shot are 3.
Yeah.
That they did pull back and show those long shots. But apparently they did only have $42 million to make this movie.
Was that all?
Mm. Yeah.
And I say, was that all? That's a lot of money, but still.
In New South Wales, I think, as well.
Mm.
So it looks like a quarry was where the ridge was. So maybe that had something to do with it, and they just saved their money for those big wide shots. Yeah. But at times it just felt a little, I mean, when you're lying in a foxhole at night and there's like people crying all over the place. That works very well. But other shots is like, this feels like there should be a wide shot of them running here.
Yeah, I was going to say, my main problem with that last bit is that I didn't know how big that ridge was. I couldn't see scale. You know, it was like, they kept shooting the Japanese military guys advancing, and you could see them as sort of full shots, right? Head to toe.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you see Desmond Doss running around. You're thinking, how far apart are they? Because Desmond Doss is saving a bunch of people, dragging them across screen and all that. And nobody's seeing this?
Yeah, again, it was a smaller hill. And I think that probably, they didn't really establish the geography.
The geography,
of it.
Yeah, the location
you've
and the scale of it.
You've got this giant wall you have to scale, which seems like the worst idea ever. I don't know why the Japanese just.
Bad idea.
Apart from
just
the
stand up there and
stand on the top and pick them off.
Yeah.
When you get to the top of that, it's not entirely clear where you go once you're on Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah.
There's some pillboxes with machine guns, but there's no.
Even then, you don't know how many pillboxes there are.
There's no hill or anything that seems to be like, this is what we're looking for.
Yeah. There's no flag.
Yeah.
No capture the flag.
No.
No. We're like,
and they have the high ground, you know? That's what Obi-Wan says. You have the high ground.
We'll pretend that movie never happened. And instead, we'll tell you to go watch Hacksaw Ridge. It actually opens in cinemas right now, so you should go check it out. It's also been nominated for loads of Oscars, and we'll see how well it does at the end of the month. Andrew Garfield, I think he's a deserving candidate. It's been, you know, Spider-Man done good.
Yeah, I don't think it'll get Best Picture, though.
No, I don't
think so.
Not
with La La Land and Midnight and things like that.
La La Land.
You but in the land
soulless,
of La La Land,
in the land of
soulless
La La Land,
man.
You know it'll win.
You soulless man.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us what you think about Hacksaw Ridge when you do see it. I'm on at Umar Pagan. Ian.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
Bye here.
I'm at Bahe Y.
Excellent. You've been listening to At the Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.